Let's join together once more before the scriptures read with prayer. Living God, we thank you that you are the teaching God, and we give you thanks for everyone here who has some measure of involvement in the education of our children and our young people. We thank you for the way they give of themselves in the classroom, in the school offices, in the lunchroom, the playground, on the bus, or at the street corner. We thank you for the commitment they have to supporting and strengthening the learning and growth of our children, our youth. And we pray that, great and wonderful God, you would let your blessing and your favor rest on their lives, so they will, as we have already prayed together, have your wisdom, your peace, your strength, your joy in every interaction they have with each of their students. Fill them with your love in the face of every challenge. Grant them your patience in all situations. We ask that you would keep them strong and healthy in body and mind and spirit. We ask all this in the transforming and the life-giving name of Jesus. Amen.
Our scripture this morning comes from Philippians chapter 4, and contained in this is Philippians 4:8. It's probably one of my favorite verses in scripture. So let us read now together the word of the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there is anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you all. Amen.
I always value it when I get very gentle and friendly reminders, and Mary just tapped me on the shoulder and asked the question, is there Sunday school today? And the answer is that no, because we want the students to be in with us today, but there is a provision if you want it for those that be kindergarten, I think, and down, so any there could go out. But I wanted to tell all of you that the young people, the children, the teachers, others that are here this morning involved in the education, that when I realized this Sunday was coming up, you got the remote? Thanks, Mike. It was just like it was instantaneous. I remembered them. I mean, it wasn't a challenge. It wasn't a struggle. I remembered them. I remember Mrs. Pritchard. I was in a one-room school, you know, K to grade 8. She taught all the grades, and I was there for the first 3 years of my educational experience. And then went into the town of Fergus after that to James McQueen School. My grandfather's name wasn't named after him, but I love going to that school. But I remember that my teachers there was just quick as a flash. I remember Mrs. Bluer in grade 3 and the kind things that she said in my report card that made my mother think a little bit better of me. I remember Mrs. Pritchard and Miss Bluer. I remember Mrs. Cherry in grade 5 and Mrs. Fox in grade 6. She was the one that brought in, the news of the assassination of JFK, John Kennedy, that year in grade 5, 6, I think it was. And then Mrs. Johnston in grade 7. And I remember them all. They were my teachers. And, well, I remember one of the people I didn't have as my teachers as well, Miss McDonald. She was the other grade 5 teacher. It was a winter recess. I threw a snowball, and somehow it hit her. I'm sure she doesn't remember me, but I remember what happened out of that anyway. But all of them, in some way or another, they had an influence, and and an impact on my life. And I look back and I realize that they really did help and shape and form me. They called out in me a curiosity, an inquisitiveness, an eagerness to learn, to stretch, to grow, to expand as a student. I'm thankful for them all. I'm even thankful for my grade 9 Latin teacher. Anybody have Latin in high school? You get more than a few, eh? Well, I remember, you know, the textbook we had was called Living Latin, and we didn't want to say it. I don't remember his last name, but I remember his first name because we used to say Tony gave us Living Latin by a dead Roman, right? And but I remember that. I didn't think it was a whole lot of value then, but it proved to be for me later. I was blessed with good teachers. I was blessed with great parents. Over the years, I've really come to understand that behind my teachers and holding up my parents, you know, really affirming all of them in their efforts, teacher and parent and family, was and continues to be God my Creator. And part of being created in the image of God, having something of the likeness of God in our lives, is being given a mind to reason and to think, to learn, to discover, to probe, to dig into, and to grow and to grasp more of life in God's creation and the world and the universe that we live in. And we need good teachers. We really do. We need those who are called, this high calling of teachers and others who are involved in the educational system that make it all happen and come together. We need them. I see that. You know, what I heard Susan talk, that was a God-given calling on your life. Might have been some days you didn't think that, but there were other days I hope you did. And I hope all of you, in whatever capacity you are involved in the school system, see that a really high calling to work with students. Now, where does that, just really quickly, I want to give you something of how that comes out of the Bible. And on Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, we read this verse, "Come now," God speaking, "let's think about this together." Other translations are going to use the word reason. Let's reason together that God has given us this capacity to comprehend, to really begin to understand and to grasp, however fallibly and incompletely it is, the reality of the world that we live in. And God wants us to develop the power of our reasoning, our capacity to, as I say, to grasp and to understand those parts of the created world that are available to us, the universe. And wonderfully, truth really can be known. And truth can be grasped. We can dialogue, we can debate, we can discuss, we can converse, we can talk together, reason together, because genuine knowledge is possible to grasp and understand. And for all of that, we need people committed to instructing, to helping, to calling all of that out of us. Jesus himself underscores this in the great commandment that he gives. He said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." See this part? "With all your mind and with all your strength." And then in that passage that Pastor Mike read for us from Philippians, the author, Paul, one of the first Christians followers of Jesus, always think about what's true. Think about what's noble, right, and pure. Think about what's lovely and worthy of respect. If anything is excellent or worthy of praise, think about those kinds of things. I marvel at that. When I read that, I don't know whether that's the favorite verse you had in the passage or not, Mike, but when I read a verse like that, I think, I mean, what a calling we have on our lives that God gives us. And you go to the next verse, and it really... I didn't have it up on the screen, but the next one is, "Whatever you have learned, whatever you have received, whatever you've heard, whatever you've seen, put that into practice." There's the calling. I mean, Susan, you're talking about, you know, what part was it in that child's life, you know, 10, 20, 30 years later that you had, the things that they learned, that they received, that they heard, that they saw in you. put those good things, those excellent things, those noble things, those admirable things, put those things into practice. And that's the incredible call of God. Whether you're a teacher in the classroom or you're working with the students on the playground, you meet them as part of the administration in the hallway, you see them on the school bus, or you're the crossing guard. You're making an investment in the life. This is by the call of God. You're making a real investment on the life of that child, that young person. In Luke chapter 24, the Gospel of Luke, there's two of the first followers of Jesus, and they're walking along the roadside. It's after the resurrection of Jesus. They're only consumed with, the thoughts of Jesus having died, and this person, they don't recognize him, comes up and walking with them. And after the whole experience, after eating a meal, they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" I just want to transfer something of the meaning of that verse. I learned, I think it was in early high school, I learned it really was, came to be part of my experience, that all truth is God's truth. All truth is God's truth. And that it could be, no matter what dimension you have in the life of a student, that student would grow through the years to have this burning of the heart with what they have learned, what they have received and heard and taken into themselves. I remember years back, my wife Jan and I went with our oldest, our son Keith, and we went to meet the person who would be his grade 11 and grade 12 mathematics teacher, math teacher. And I kid you not, I didn't time it, but it was long. I'm going to say it was like 10 to 15 minutes. It could have been longer, easily longer. This dear woman stood at the door into her classroom, my wife, myself, and our, just coming out of grade 10, going into grade 11, son, and she went into this rhapsody about mathematics. I'd never heard anything like it in all my life. I swear to you that I could have walked away and come back that 10 or 15 minutes later, she still would have been there going on about the beauty and the wonder and the truth to be discovered and discerned in mathematics. She had a burning heart, a passion to pass that all on to her students. Now, a couple years later, my son's in, 17. We were shaking with fear as parents. He's off to the University of Waterloo, and he comes home in September. And he shows us his mathematics textbook, and then he says to us, "I want to go to the school and show this to my teacher." And we go, "What?" His heart was burning within him about what he was learning, and he wanted to go and show his high school math teacher. He didn't quite say it like this, but the role, the part, the share she had in his life as he was engaged in first year study of math at the University of Waterloo. One more verse from the scripture I want to leave with you comes, the Bible's turn to it this morning. Psalm 119, verse 66, and it says this: "Increase my knowledge." It's the prayer of the writer to God. "Increase my knowledge and give me good sense." I want to thank each and every one of you here this morning who's had some part, a share, a role in helping to make this happen, increasing the knowledge and the good sense in the lives of our students, blessing their knowledge, helping them increase and grow in that, and giving them a strong sense of good sense in their lives. And I say to you with gratitude and a thankfulness in my spirit, the blessing of God be on you and with you. Let's pray together. I'm going to invite the praise team to come forward. Lord God, thank you for the heart you have to pour good things into our lives. And you do that in a host of ways, a myriad of ways you come and you show yourself to us. And you do it, we thank you, through the gifted role that those involved in education have with our students and our young people. Thank you for them. And do let your blessing rest on their lives. And let your blessing as well, your favor, your healing and strengthening hand on all those we know who are in need in any way. And Lord, stretching beyond that, even those we don't know this day that are in desperate need, and many, many so around this world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we sing our last song, I want to tell you just really quickly, I had a learning experience this week. Leonard's brother, Doug, who used to be able to come and worship with us, he was moved from the Waterdown Manor here to the Billings Court Nursing Home down Walker's and the Queen Elizabeth. And I was down to see Doug this week, and I went expecting that he wasn't going to be really able even maybe to talk with me, but he wasn't in his room. And I was told that he might be on the third floor at the music event that was being held up there. And I went up, and there was a music event going on there. So I sat beside him, and we talked together on and off over about a 30-35 minute period. And then I said, Doug, I'll be back next week to see you. And I left. And I went out one door, and the recreation director came out the other door, and she came up to me. And she said, thank you for coming to see Doug. Who are you? And I said, well, I'm Doug's pastor. Waterdown. That was the first thing out of her mouth. She just said, Waterdown. I said, well, yes, Knox Church in Waterdown. And she said to me, I cannot tell you. This is Doug's just been there for a week and a half to 2 weeks. I cannot tell you how much your church means to Doug. And I'm going, whoa. She says, we just got him a table that we put in his room because he can't really stand anymore. Put a table in his room that he can put his wheelchair up, that he can put his Bible on, and with that really shaky hand, turn the pages of his Bible. And when I first sat down beside Doug, I didn't even think he was going to be able to speak or talk. I thought all of that had gone since I'd last seen him several weeks before. He said to me this, Hi, George. I pray for you every morning. I just want to leave that with you because it's not about me. It's about what God's doing in this family, because that recreation director was able to recognize through this man's life that this church family, by the grace of God, is making and continues to make a big difference in Doug's life. Thank you. We're going to sing together. Thank you to Shirley Bowman. She's already headed out. She's serving up coffee and other things, and there's going to be school buses to eat out there in the gathering hall as well. The blessing of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, give each one of you minds to grasp and understand what is true, what is right, and what is noble. The Lord bless you with the eyes of the heart to see what is pure, what is lovely, and what is admirable. The God of beauty and wonder and glory revealed in Jesus Christ help you to know and to rejoice in everything that is excellent and praiseworthy. The God of peace be with you this day and always. Amen.